Hunter is a physician leader who graduated from the Selfless Leadership Program when I was facilitating it. He's a person that asks tough questions and honestly, like phenomenally, has a leadership brand that I want to follow. Now, today we talk about this idea of a leadership brand. You know, not the ideals, not the values, not the philosophies, but actually our impact on other human beings. How do we like develop this? How do we figure out what it is and how do we shape it? Not only for our own benefit, like to feel good and to say, this is who I am, but really for the teams that we are in. And it's constantly changing. And you'll hear us like kind of go through our own process while we're the conversation even of like, who am I? Who am I still? We're like testing it out as we go along. I'm really thankful that he decided to take time out of his like phenomenally busy schedule to talk to me about this. And honestly, even after we stopped recording, I had my own life aha moment in terms of my own executive shaman brand. I'm positive you'll find questions of your own that will compel you after the podcast is over.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
I'm excited to welcome you to this podcast, Hunter.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, I ask every guest when they come on, what do you really do for a living? So you get to answer that question right off the bat. What do you really do for a living, Hunter?
Well, when I first read this question, I had a suspicion that this was somewhat of a trick answer, knowing you. When the adverb really, yeah, makes me wonder what you're really getting at. But I'm a sleep medicine physician. That's how I make my money. I'm also a father and a husband as well. But that's how I do my living.
I like it. Of course, it's a trick question, knowing me. Because, right. You know, it depends on the context of when I'm answering that question. What do I say? But the really interesting thing is that there's so many things that we do for a living. And on the website, there's a tagline that says live limitless. And then on the lettercode.com, the tagline is love limitless. And the really means that it can be so limitless how you define what you really do and how you really live. So, of course, there's multiple meanings. If you were to answer it from a more philosophical level, like philosophically, what do you really do?
That's a tough one. What do I really do? I'm not sure, since I define so much of myself with those characteristics, how I make my money, but my relationship with my family and my friends. I don't know if there's something else unique about me that I could sum up and state, you know, I am this, like a guitarist or a writer or something like that. Because outside of work, my interests are somewhat limited.
Yeah. Isn't it? Okay. So yeah. I find this so fascinating that we struggle with saying, I am in relationship with other people. That's what I really do for a living. That in our culture still, we prize our professions and what status we have or what position we play. But really, most of us, what we really, really do is be in relationships with other people.
Right. Yeah, all of us as humans.
Yeah. And today we're actually talking about our leadership brand, and a brand really has to do with how you impact other human beings and how you define that relationship with other people, whether it's deliberate or if it's somewhat on autopilot. So is it pretty good connection, just that first question with our topic for today. But before we jump in, I would love for you just to share why you said yes to this podcast.
Well, since my time at Launchdel and all the support you've provided me, I feel like our relationship is strong and I want to reciprocate. I feel like at this time you reached out to me possibly for some support. So I wanted to be helpful and do this podcast if it in any way helps you become who you want to be as a person and as a leader.
Yeah. I think that's like the best gift I can ever receive, is to give support and to receive it consciously. And we'll talk about that in episode 9. So right after this podcast, this is episode 8, episode 9, we talk about support. And it is something that is a technique that you can use to connect more consciously in your relationships. So I am honored that you said yes to this. Absolutely. And then, you know, you got to choose or have some choice around the topic. So tell me what resonates with you when I put out there talking about our leadership brands.
Well, this was something that we focused on in the Selfless Leadership Program, the SLP group that you ran. And so it's something I hadn't thought much about prior to that group. But since then, it's something that I find interesting, trying to conceptualize how we lead teams and how it has developed or even progressed with different leadership positions.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the difference is between like a brand and a philosophy? A leadership brand versus a leadership philosophy?
Well, to me, and this may be just more marketing, and brand implies more how others perceive you and your behavior, or as a philosophy can be just something that you personally hold, and it may show up in different ways to others. It may even be counter to what you actually think, but you're behaving in a way that where your brand is something different.
Yeah. I liked when you came to the front line, which is a like mid-level manager conscious leadership group. The Selfless Service was more a comprehensive 12 session. It was 96 hours, and Frontline was a 40-hour group. And we were just discussing at the very end how to develop a leadership philosophy, and then questioning whether your concepts and your values and what you believe in, if it's really demonstrated and expressed in behavior and the impact that you have on other people. Because you can behave confident and you can behave extroverted, but if other people see you as doubtful and quiet and reserved, then your philosophy and your brand are misaligned. So what did you think when you came in and you started talking about your brand? Like that whole experience of just sharing it like 6 months after you ended the program.
Well, it's to explain it forces you to think about it and conceptualize it and be able to describe what your brand really is rather than just thinking you know it. So having to explain it to someone else helps me understand exactly what my brand is or what I'm trying to accomplish and how I want others to view me as a leader.
You know, like you have to know your subject if you're teaching it. Mm-hmm. Like I used to say all the time to people, like I used my work actually to facilitate my own conscious awakening. Like my wise heart only is the best when I'm in groups of people and I'm doing my work. Like the minute I put it down and I go on vacation or holiday, probably not the minute, maybe it takes like half a day, but then, you know, I'm like acting unconsciously and I'm on autopilot and I don't realize I'm ticked off or just doing things selfishly. But in the times where I'm actually utilizing it and guiding other people and leading them, that's when I am at my most conscious level. So that's kind of why I'm in this business, because I use it for my own development. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think your brand is now.
Well, in my current position, I'm not directly in leadership, but as a physician on a team, I do. There is a hierarchy, so in a sense, I still have to behave as if I'm a leader, especially if the current leader is out on leave, for example. And so I still try to behave in a way consistent with my brand, where to me, I feel strongly that we're all part of a team and everybody has valuable input. I try to get everybody to speak up and, you know, from every aspect of our clinic so that most people have a say in how we operate, because it's not just what I want. It's sometimes the front desk has a much better solution in mind to a problem that we're having, since they deal with it day in and day out all day and I don't. Their viewpoint can be much more helpful than me just coming up with some random solution. I've tried not to solve people's problems for them when they come to me. And that's something I learned from you. It's just to let the person talk and then encourage them to come up with a solution that works best for them. And with some guidance, of course, because it may not be realistic or possible. But rather than trying to solve a problem, which is how I used to be. Okay, there's a problem, let me fix it. And let's let the person come up with a solution. And that really makes them feel good about themselves too. Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of things that jumped out to me when I was listening to you. Like, your brand really now is people-centric. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. Yeah. It's not about just getting the job done. It's, well, how are we all going to work together as a team so that everybody is fulfilled and yet also still achieve the mission.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that one of the participants in Frontline said to me about you was how they wanted to be like you. And that's because when you came in and you were talking about your brand, you weren't talking about it. You were doing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm always like saying, like, we can talk about our brands, and talking about our brands, even listening right now, if you're listening to this, you might be like, I don't get it. It's because talking about brands aren't really as effective. That's not the juice of it. The juice is like how we live our lives. And there's something about how people just operate and even talking about themselves that indicate like what they stand for and how they interact with people. There's something, I think I'm going to say, at the spiritual energetic level that gets after this topic.
Right.
Like, because it's not like what you do and not really even how you perform it. Like, you can be a good listener and involve, you know, your front desk staff. I mean, you're an expert in your field as a physician. You are an expert. And it's not like if you follow this formula, then your brand is going to be, you know, powerful and, you know, helpful. It's that it comes from a place of genuine openness and how you see yourself in relationship to other people. So can you speak to that, like how you developed that, how that changed for you, or what was like a turning point when you changed from like a more positional problem solver, go-to advice giver, expert, to listening, inclusivity, and the other one that you said was really like empowerment. What was something that helped shift that for you?
Well, I have to keep going back to the SLP, some of the exercises we did, thinking of the three-legged stool, especially what role am I playing in the problems we may be having, trying to, instead of looking at others as the problem, looking at yourself, help me understand that what I'm doing or not doing could be the main problem we're having rather than others or just the system itself, trying to blame something external. So that helped open my eyes. And on the spectrum, green colored, you know, the one who wants to be seen as competent all the time, you know, that's something I've always struggled with and probably shaped my personality to a strong degree. And having solutions or, you know, answers to problems is one way to portray some amount of competency, right? Mm-hmm. So it has been hard to sit back and think, oh, I know what to do here, mm-hmm. but let me see if the person can come up with it, or perhaps they have even a better solution if I just listen mm-hmm. And not jump in. It's not that I was rash with my interactions with people. I feel like possibly I've always been able to listen. But like I said, I was always also quick to provide advice because that's what seemed like they wanted. And but that wasn't always the case. And really, this isn't new just from SLP. I think I remember even when I was young, a teenager, where I worked at Walgreens, and my boss, the store manager, I looked up to that guy, and I tried to mimic some of the things he did. He was very involved with all of us, you know, asking us all about our lives. It wasn't just, hey, go stock the shelves or go hit, you know, run the register. It was, you know, what are you going to do with your life after high school? How are you preparing yourself for college? You know, it was much more than just, we weren't just employees to him. We were almost an extension of his family. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a wife and kids. And so I found that an intriguing way and a successful way to run a business. And I try to emulate that to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always been a question of like, who am I and who do I want to be? And can you accept yourself for at both stages and not like shame yourself for whatever failing that you have? And oftentimes the leaders that have the most powerful effect on us are ones that just see us and actually see like not so great parts too, and can encourage us in both ways. Like you are allowed to have the answer and not give it. Right. Because, you know, as a physician, before I turned into leadership, you know, consultant, executive, I'm going to say performance coach, I was a provider. And oftentimes I just wanted to give people the answer so I could feel good about how much I knew. I mean, truly.
Right. Yeah.
I really did. I don't know if you can relate to that.
Definitely. I mean, as a provider, the relationship isn't equal, right? By design, your education level is much higher typically than your patient. And so there is, and they look at you as a authority figure who does have answers. So, and to say you don't know is humbling, but also helpful too, I find. And so and especially in some of the softer specialties like mine, sleep, where there's sometimes a large psychological component. You know, I can't point to an MRI and say, here's your problem right here. Or, mm-hmm. you know, even a sleep study doesn't show some things. And so just having to explain that, I don't know, but we're going to work on this together mm-hmm. and try to improve things can still be helpful, even though it doesn't have a name or the name may not have an identifiable, you know, biomarker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of in the way cardiology does or something.
Absolutely. I think we're going to very quickly get to a point where all medicine is going to be considered almost a soft science because we're just bombarded with a lot of medical information every day as well. And same with like military leaders that are looking at strategic information. Like there's so much data to shift through that you cannot account for everything in real quick time. And it requires a perspective taken. And even with very concrete data of here is your sleep study, or here's your heart, you know, echogram, or even like and for leaders, you've gotten all this feedback that, you know, people don't like you and people are upset and there's going to be a mutiny soon. Like that data does not have any impact unless that person has a relationship with a person that's giving them that data. And, you know, of course, authority helps. I mean, I forget oftentimes that there's a power differential between me and other people. I'm white. I'm female. I'm short. I have multiple master's degrees and, you know, a PhD. And I actually forget that I'm oftentimes in a powerful position and people might be intimidated by me. And if I, if that's not a perspective of mine, then I will not be able to effectively move people to the place where they want to go rather than the place that I want them to go. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about being green. And for people that are listening that have no idea what that means, I do a simple, follow a simple leadership personality, temperament, and interaction style program. It's called Spectrum Development. And of course, you can look them, up. And actually, I mentioned them at the back of theLetterCode.com as a resource. But, you know, we all have these core tendencies, just like the letter code. We have a core tendency in love. We have core personality outside. And, you know, green personalities tend to really just believe that who they are is how they think and that they have a very strong need to be competent. And your brand must include that. Your brand must include your needs. And it's important to kind of know what you need in order to move more effective. I would say move more effectively with other people. So do you have an insight of how that's operating in your life right now?
Well, yeah, I found it interesting you described the spectrum process as simple, and I guess it is simple to administer and for us to complete, but it's very powerful in how it changes the way you view yourself. It does help you, well, it's not in a bad way, but put yourself in a box or label, mm-hmm. you know, how you normally interact with others, so that you can see possibly aspects of yourself that you weren't aware of before, because you don't necessarily spend time thinking about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very powerful, and one of the key takeaways from that that group. Even though I remember when we walked in the day you're doing it, all the stuff on the table, mm-hmm. and I was thinking to myself, what is this with the toys and the colors or something? And mm-hmm. But it was quite powerful, and it helped us further along in the group to describe ourselves, and you could then, by giving us our colors, basically predict how we're going to react, you know. James and I would usually volunteer first because that's how we are, both mm-hmm. being green. Mm-hmm. So you knew that. So you would. So I'm sure you probably could know our colors before we even did spectrum, just by our interactions in the group and knowing something about group dynamics mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. So thanks for just talking about that. Is that somehow when you're aware of how you operate, then you have a choice on how you operate. And until you're not shown some kind of easy, simple cognitive categorization, then it's that power is hidden from you. So that's something that is also requires a team, because this program is not like a online assessment that you take. It's a team. You do it within a team context. And it is through our relationships and our behaviors with other people that who you are rises to the surface. You never know who you are as a leader, as a person, as a lover, until you're like in a relationship. And in many ways, the letter code is like this. I mean, that's why there are Spectrum's a resource at the back, because the letter code talks about our dynamics and our code in love, which is completely different outside of love. It's a very intimate relationship that you have with another human being, and how you love is completely different than how you lead your business team. And I find that many people who might have a strong tendency to show up in one way at the office are completely different in a loving partnership. So once I kind of figured that out a couple years ago, of course, struggling in my own life, love life, while hitting it out of the ballpark, I would say professionally, this came up with this code that hopefully is as powerful as understanding if you're an introvert or extrovert, or if your tendencies are for competency or for duty. You know, I'm excited for you to read it, and then we can talk about what your letter is. So
I was going to say about the color spectrum, it is applicable to, of course, to your leadership brand. I also found it applicable to my relationship with my wife, though, because you're not just green at work. Obviously, you're green at home. And so it can help in all relationships, personal ones as well as professional.
It still is like one of my favorite things to do with teams. And like the letter code, we're launching it, you know, in winter of 2019, whenever people are listening to this, it's the book is written for me to be able to facilitate it. So the workshops that I'll be doing, I'm really excited just to see what happens. So my best friend's a Y, and Y's really like teamwork. And in episode 2, we talk about how she loves her work. And so, of course, her, you know, Y shows up at work. And so we talked about how a Y works, and she happens to be green as well. And so it's just, I'm excited just to see where this goes and if it's, you know, if it's, if it can relate to people. I know it does for me, but at the same time, you know, we can have our brand and the days that we don't measure up to it, or at least our conscious desire to have a particular impact on others are the, our greatest learning opportunities. So I even just talking with you again, I feel, just inspired by how you question things. And I know that one thing about your brand is that you are a deep questioner and you aren't afraid to actually ask the tough questions when nobody else is going to ask the tough questions. Like, you will ask it. And I'm sure that's how you are with your patients, because I've asked your patients. So are you aware of that now?
Yes, to a degree. And I hope it doesn't get me in trouble times, because maybe it's intrusive to some people. But yeah, I don't like to hold back necessarily. I like to get at the root of the problem soon. Almost like, what's the guy? Habib Davinlou. If you never learned about him. Very confrontational, you know, rapid fire. Let's peel back the layers quickly.
Well, I can resonate with that. And so I really loved that you did that for me personally. And there was like this very powerful moment where you asked me a very challenging question that I was just waiting for somebody to say, point out. And I was almost amplifying this negative behavior in order just to see, like, if is anybody going to challenge me on it? And that is something that we need more of. The executive shaman is about healing, and we need more people to challenge the things that are not working in our relationships, not working on our teams, not working in our organizations. We need people to ask like tough questions, like, why are we doing it this way? Or why do you do it this way? I'm not understanding like what, you know, what you're trying to get after. And, you know, that was really effective. And that personal courage, which is one of my favorite values, is something that will bring healing to the world. So don't stop. And I would encourage more of us to ask those tough questions.
I remember I've even been doing that here at this duty station. You know, I've been here just a few months, but I remember even asking the officer in charge, why are we doing it this way? And not because I think my way is better. I'm trying to understand, because it may work for the clinic here. However, I would like to know exactly why. And some of the times it was, well, I don't know, this is just the way it's always been done. And you know, that's not satisfactory to me. This is how it's always been done. That type of response. Makes me think they don't know why.
No, that's like when your parents, you're like, why? And they say, just because. And you're like, by the time you're a teenager, you're like, that's not compelling.
Right, exactly.
And it's not good debate skills. That would not pass the Oxford debate, you know. It would just not, not work. But it does work in our organizations. Isn't it strange?
Well, yeah, I think the authority, the power you have maybe allows it to work.
Right.
And like you said, others may not be comfortable questioning for fear of repercussions that are more real than probably, you know, getting scolded by your parent, but getting fired or whatever, or passed over for promotion, it can hurt more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that this is a time to be asking why. And honestly, there's only one indication of culture progression and breaking free of the limits that are harmful. And that's because people would no longer stand for, this is the way we've always done it. For any social progressive movement, this is the way we've always done it is a great response until there is a revolution. And there are many things in our world that require a revolution. So thanks for asking.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks for our time today and our conversation. I feel blessed and honored that you said yes. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you asking me. I know there are probably lots of people who would have volunteered to do this. So I feel honored that you thought of me.
Absolutely. I look forward to our next time. And if people are still listening and still with us all the way to the end, thank you for being with us too. I believe that there's a reason why you're here, and I am appreciative of how we're connected, even though I might not have ever met you or don't know you by name, but I appreciate you being here with us. Hopefully you can find other episodes on the Executive Shaman podcast. You can check out theletterco.com too. But mostly, I just want to encourage you to keep doing you. Thanks, Hunter. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Crystal.